Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone, for the 5 o'clock hour with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas talking, ready to get for the Pelicans tonight, talking Saints and Buccaneers. Well, about 5:20 tonight, we'll have James Yarcho with Locked on the Bucs podcast. That's at 5:20. Of course, the Buccaneers win, and they take the NFC South. For the Saints, no Derek Carr, no Alvin, as expected. Kendre Miller, concussion protocol, he's not going to play. Really, the only one out there would be Olave. And I just can't imagine. I'm not saying it wouldn't, if he would play, I can kind of see.
I would be surprised if he played.
Right. I'm like, what if he got another concussion? What would be the point of him playing other than I want to get him out there and so he could kind of go into the offseason without having that as kind of tagging on behind him? But I see no reason.
I think if that's what you're worried about, that's why you had him practice in the last 3 weeks.
To see where he was.
Well, just to let him be able to run around
right.
And see how you feel after, you know, getting up the next day. But for him to go out there and play, there's no reason.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, and that's the thing, and I wanted to pull this up. We have talked a lot about the Saints offensive line and the injuries that they've had. IR, you start the offseason with Ryan Ramczyk,
right.
Kind of undecided. So I was like, I'm curious, you know, how much of an aberration is the Saints? And this is just one example. But you look at Tampa, their offensive line. Tristan Wirfs missed one game this year, one.
All pro left tackle.
Right. Ben Bredesen, the left guard, started all 16. He had missed a game. Graham Barton, the rookie out of Duke, their first-round pick, he missed week 6.
Against the Saints.
Against the Saints. Other than that, 15 starts. Right tackle, Cody Mauch, 16 starts. And he missed a game. Luke Getteke has missed 4 games. That's the most of their offensive line. That's it. And you keep your starting 5 intact, man.
And trust me, it's a lot easier to replace 1 than it is to replace 3 or even 2 offensive linemen.
And because that was the situation, right?
But now you get to shuffling guys, trying to move guys around. Hey, you know, well, this guy's a better center. Well, this guy's a better such and such. Now we've got to move this player around. And if we don't have to move this player, maybe we can be okay with this guy in. But now this one is going to struggle with XYZ and It's tough. It's tough when you say, okay, and we're going to run an offense. You still have to run an offense. And, oh, hey, we'll take your starting receiver away. We'll take your number 2 receiver away. And then we'll eventually take one of your starting tight ends away.
Right.
And go play.
Well, and I think part of the thing for me has been, you know, the season is long over time. You have to kind of go back and go, well, wait, you know, Rashid Shaheed, Week 6 was his last game. Paulson Adebo, Week 7. It's not like it's been the last 3 or 4 weeks. You've been without some of these guys. Taysom Hill, you know, all of these guys have been out. Olave, Shaheed, Adebo, Taysom for a long time. In the offensive line, IR finally for a couple of them, but they were out, you know, different guys, 2 and 4.
You lose games. 1 for 7 weeks.
Right. And so it's... So it's not. I do believe that the Saints are a bit of an aberration. And I'm not looking at all the teams, but you can look at the teams that have struggled, you know, either they've struggled or they've had some problems
the
Saints.
Here's one. Here's one. And they are in the playoffs. The Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Rams, and we know personally their offensive line coach, the assistant as well, just talking to them, and they were in a fire sale mode.
Yep.
A week or two before coming to New Orleans, they were trying to trade Cooper Kupp. because of the salary. There were talks of Matthew Stafford being traded as well to say, hey, let's just reset this whole deal. Next thing you know, their offensive line, who had been hurt, you had one that was suspended. They get those guys back. They win a game. Well, okay, right, we win one game. All right, yeah. We're still listening to offers for Cooper Kupp, and potentially if it's a granddaddy offer, we will trade Matthew Stafford as well. The following week, we win another game. You start looking at their division, it's like, wait.
That's what I was going to say.
Wait. Arizona, you're leading?
Right.
And you only have us by two games? And we just won two games back-to-back? And we haven't even played you guys? I don't know if they had played or not. But, you know, let's just say they had one more game with them. All of a sudden, they catch fire. And they start believing. They start doing something that they had not did all year against us. Running the football. They had struggled immensely running the football. They go from a wide zone team to a downhill team. And then they're able to mix both of them in there. And so now they can be a wide zone, a downhill. And it's like, who are these guys? And you start to see, Cooper's back healthy. And Puka Nacua, he's healthy as well. He's been banged up, but he's healthy as well. They win 9 of 10 games.
Yep.
9 of 10. And they were, I mean, you can go look it up. They were multiple players
right on
the market as far as to be traded.
No, I agree. I think you're right. I think part of that is, like you say, it's like, wait, we won two games. We're back in this. Don't take that call.
Don't take the call. Yeah, tell them unless it's multiple first rounders, we're not interested anymore.
Right. And then they win the division. So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk with James Yarcho with the Locked On Bucks podcast, get things from how they are down in Tampa. Waiting for the Saints to come in on Sunday afternoon. Win and you are in. That'll be the fourth seed, and they'll host somebody like Detroit or Minnesota. Something like that. Some 14-13-win team. Back after this on Fans in the Pro here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Pelicans at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6:30, all right here on the Big 870 WWL, joined now by James Yarcho with the Locked On Bucks podcast as the Saints travel to Tampa on Sunday. Win and you are in for the Buccaneers. They're playing great football. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So give me, I mean, what's the feeling down there? Is it's kind of quiet overconfidence, or I mean, you have the Saints and Spencer Rattler coming to town. You guys 14 touchdowns for Mayfield in his last four games. I mean, the Buccaneers are hot at the right time.
Yeah, I think there's – I wouldn't say it's overconfidence, but there is a confidence that the Bucs are going to be able to do this. And honestly, there's been confidence since the bye week, and they had struggled going into the bye given some of the opponents that they had to face, some of the heartbreaking losses. But, Bucs fans knew going, coming out of that bye that they faced one team that was above 500 in their final seven games. They needed a little bit of help. They got it, whether it was because other teams stepped up or the Falcons tripped all over themselves. But Bucs fans knew they needed 6 out of 7 in their last seven games to be in this position. And so far they've gotten 5 out of 6. And I feel like, there's quite a bit of confidence that they're going to be able to get the job done against a Saints team that's, kind of searching for an identity, right? They have Spencer Rattler there at quarterback. I'm not sure if they feel like he's the future. Alvin Kamara probably isn't going to play. There's a lot of questions around a team that is going to be, probably looking to the other sideline at a potential head coach for next year.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's for an identity. I think they just, you're looking for some offense. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for some offense and some consistency just because you're without wide receiver 1, 2, and more than likely you're starting tailback. And so this Saints team, they've played hard. But it's been penalties and mistakes. That is what's hurt them, particularly over the last month or so when you talk about some of the games that they've been in. But I'm intrigued in what you overall think about that team as far as the Saints and, just the going up against a team that basically knows that if they win, they're in.
Yeah, I don't think, and I've been saying it all week on Locked On Bucks, I do not think that this Saints team is going to just come in and lay down for the Buccaneers. Yeah, there's a lot of pride on that side. There are a lot of guys auditioning for whoever the next head coach is. You know, there's a lot of people that have carried over from the Drew Brees era, and they see the Bucs with an opportunity to tie the Saints' record for most consecutive NFC South titles. They see Mike Evans over there looking for his 11th straight 1,000-yard season, and they want to be the ones to say, no, you're not getting the record this time. You're not tying Jerry Rice. You're not getting your 1,000 yards against us. So there's going to be a lot of pride there, and they're going to come out there, and they want to play spoiler no matter what the, you know, who gets in because of it. So it's far from an easy matchup. Divisional matchups are always difficult, but you know the Saints are going to come in and really give the Bucs a fight, whether Tampa wants it or not.
What's the talk about Mike Evans this week down there? I don't know how much he's been played in Tampa. The situation with the 85 yards to his 11th season of 1,000 and 5 receptions to get 70, and then it also would trigger a $3 million bonus. How much is that? How much play is that getting down there?
It means everything to Baker to get Mike Evans that 1,000-yard mark. You know, he would extend his own NFL record for consecutive seasons to start a career, but then of course tie Jerry Rice's all-time record for consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, and it means a lot. But at the same time, you know, Mike is the kind of player that would trade that streak for a win and a division crown and a chance to go to the postseason. And these guys know that the game comes first. And if they go out and they play their game and they establish the run with Bucky Irving and they're doing what they've done for the better part of the last 2 months, that 85 yards is going to come. But I think when you take a look at the significance of what that record means, not just to Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield, but to the franchise, to the fans, you know, who have repeatedly year after year after year talked about how Mike Evans is one of the most overlooked wide receivers in the NFL and people still not believing that he's a Hall of Famer, it does mean a lot, but I don't think they're going to sacrifice the opportunity to win a game just to force Mike Evans the football.
James, I got to ask you on the other side of the ball, you know, one of the guys that, you know, if you aren't concerned with him, you better be on that defensive front, Vita Vey, just how well he's been playing or, you know, some of the things that he can cause as far as problems for any other team.
Yeah, Vita Vea is just, he's so much fun to watch when you're not the team facing him, because he's just a bulldozer, and he is going to fight through everything to be able to disrupt the backfield. And the best thing I think about Vita Vea is that he may not show up on the stat sheet the way you would expect a player of his caliber to, but what he does is he opens up so many things for guys like Kalijah Kansi or Yaya Diaby or Lavonte David or Antoine Winfield Jr., because he takes so much attention and so much manpower to be able to stop that these other guys are able to get one-on-one or absolutely untouched opportunities to get into the backfield and get after a quarterback or to hit a running back for a loss. So Vita is, he's the anchor. He is what drives this defense as that guy in the trenches that eats up two and three blockers at a time and still can manage to get a sack with one arm when you have multiple guys draped over him. He's probably one of the most incredible players to watch play in and play out just because of everything that he is able to do and all of the attention that he garners.
I wanted to ask you, like, week 6, Bucky Irving, rookie out of Oregon, fourth rounder, has 14 carries, 81 yards. Now, the big guy that day was Sean Tucker, his career high. But when did you guys down there kind of know what you had in Irving? So he's got over 1,000 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. When did you know?
It was pretty early on knowing what he was capable of. Yet he's Pro Football Focus's most elusive running back in the NFL this year. Very rarely does the first guy actually bring him down. And it wasn't until he started getting more opportunities that he was really able to explode the way that he has. You know, you still have Rashad White, who is a really, really good running back, but Bucky has just been able to take it to another level. You know, Rashad's a little bit bigger. He's not quite as fast. He's a little bit stronger. And Bucky's been that elusive guy. And so as he's continued to progress, of course, Liam Cohen has gotten him more and more involved in the offense. So that's when he's been able to get, you know, 16 or 18 carries, and he's been able to rip off 150-yard games. And you know, they've realized that the more opportunities he has, the better he gets. He's one of those guys, you know, that just gets better as the game progresses, whether that's because he gets a better feel for the game and he's a little bit more adept to the flow, or it's because the defenses are wearing down later in games. But Bucky Irving is a guy ever since training camp that really, you know, the Bucs knew they had someone special to join Rashad in the backfield. And you kind of feel a little bit for Rashad losing kind of his running back one status. But as a duo, they're one of the best duos in the NFL. And a lot of that has to do with how elusive and how quick Bucky Irving is. And then when you can throw it, the power of Rashad at defenses, it really works out well for the Bucs. And this is a team that was one of the worst in the NFL the last couple of years in running the football, and the addition of Bucky Irving has skyrocketed them into the top five.
I wanted to ask you how prepared, or what, you know, Dave Canales last year, Liam Cohen this year, you know, these hot, you know, coordinators always, and with the offense that you guys have put up this year, do they feel like they're kind of in that same situation where they could lose Liam again, like Canales?
100%. Yeah, and Liam talked about it earlier this week that it's been his dream to become an NFL head coach. Right now, of course, he's focused on the Saints this week and trying to get this team to the postseason and then figure out what happens after that. But you know, there's only 32 of those jobs, and if you're in this business, if you're in this industry, that is a dream, and you want to get there however you can. Dave Canales, you know, me personally, I thought it was a little too early and not a great situation. And Dave has proved me wrong. What he's done with Bryce Young there in Carolina from the beginning of the season to where they are right now, you know, Bryce Young is going to be a really difficult quarterback to deal with in the NFC South for, you know, years to come. And he's really done a fantastic job. So I fully expect Liam Cohen to be getting calls from teams like the New Orleans Saints, like the Chicago Bears, the New York Jets. He's going to have an opportunity. Now, whether or not he decides to take that opportunity, or he pulls a Ben Johnson and wants to stay in Tampa, and he knows that at some point Todd Bowles is probably going to move on. You know, Todd has talked about retirement for a couple of years now, that he feels like he's getting to the end of his football journey. Getting to stick with Baker and this offense that he's built in Tampa might be a little bit more intriguing. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But you, a guy like Liam Cohen, who has, you know, worked with Sean McVay, worked with Todd Bowles, and has done some really impressive things in the NFL, he's going to make one heck of an NFL head coach.
Well, James, we appreciate your time. We look forward to the game on Sunday and see how things shake out. James Yard Show with the Locked On Bucs podcast. Appreciate your time again.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you.
You bet. Noon on Sunday in Tampa. Tampa actually has a worse home record than they have on the road. And so they've see how that plays out. And so you see it all the time. And, you know, and the Saints are going to be in this basket here, right? You try to go out and
that mentality.
Right. Or you get somebody, you know, guess what? Everybody wants Vrabel.
Right.
Guess, you know, you're not the only team out there, but it's so, or if you wait and then try to figure out, you know, is it the hot coordinator? Do you have your eye on somebody? I mean, you don't want to wait too long, right? You're not the only opening.
And then when you look at it, you know, from a coordinator standpoint, particularly from a team standpoint, hey, do I want to coach with head coaching experience, or do I want a coordinator that's first-year head coach, whether he's offense or defense? And even special teams, you know, this would be his first opportunity as a head coach. And so I think that all comes into play. Really, for me, it depends on the roster of that squad, what I for sure have coming back, and what I potentially have coming back. And then, you know, every coach, you can get upset with the recycled coach theme. You know, some people want to blow everything up, blow it all up, you know. Give me new colors if you can. I don't want you to wear black and gold anymore. Give me a whole new color. You know, just give me everything is new. You know, let's start with the training staff. Let's start with the cafeteria. I want it all blown up. That's the theory that some people have. I'm serious.
I know.
I mean,
if people are just listening in. Deuce is just, you know, yeah, he's being sarcastic.
I am being sarcastic, but some
fans truly. I do 100%.
Yeah, and so, you know, hey, I want a new voice from the front secretary that answers the phone to I want everything gone. And some are like, well, no, I just want all of Sean's people gone. You know, upstairs, if he worked with Sean, he doesn't need to be there. If he was equipment manager with Sean, he doesn't need to be there. And that's what some people believe. And then some want to say, let's just give a special teams coach. Let's just say, hey, it's Rizzy. And Rizzy, you get to pick whatever coaches you want. You are not saddled with any coaches. So if you want to bring in, and this is, I'm being facetious or joking. If you want to bring in all guys from New Jersey, bring them in. You know, that. But there's no, I don't know if there's a middle ground. I don't know if there's a middle ground for, and I don't want to just call it fans. We'll just say individuals. Like, what will make you happy? If this team goes forward, what will make you happy? And I don't have the answer for that today. I don't. Maybe in 2 weeks I'll have it.
I don't know that the coaching if the coaching hire alone would suffice just in January and February. Maybe. I don't know who that guy would be. You know, who's the guy that if you just hired a coach today, you had a guy, who your guy.
Okay.
And so for the black and gold faithful out there, would that be enough, depending on who that guy is, to go, okay, I'm back on? I don't know. I mean, who's other than Vrabel, who out there? You know, Ron Rivera, I saw, was getting,
yeah, Ron,
he's the guy you're talking about.
He's interviewing for, I think, the Jets, maybe?
Yeah, Jets.
He was talking to the Jets. And Vrabel just talked to the Jets. You know, Mike McCarthy, I think his contract ends, because he didn't get an extension, ends probably next week or in 2 weeks or whatever it is. So, you know, a guy like that. But let's just say, hey, Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach, wants to come to the NFL. Would he make fans happy? Would fans get excited for that?
I don't know.
That's... Or would it take him bringing three players from Ohio State with him, or drafting him, you know, drafting those players? I mean, because you still have free agency to go through. You still have to get cap compliant.
$70 million, something like that. Over right now,
whatever it is.
It's better than it has. It's been 100. We've been in worse situations.
It's been 100. Right. It's been 85 or whatever. It is what it is. You got to get cap compliant.
Yeah. By the beginning of the season, March something.
Yeah, first of the March or whatever that date is. You got to get cap compliant. And guess what? The NFL doesn't care if you don't have a head coach then or not. You have to. Whoever is the head coach, they have to still get cap compliant.
In total, just, you know, is this something that happens quickly, or are we going to be beginning of February,
without a coach?
Right.
I highly doubt it.
Quickly, or do you think it'll be like,
yeah, no,
most,
I mean,
of them, most of the time it's February.
What do you call quick?
Because you can't talk to some people to, you know, officially.
And the Super Bowl is what?
February 9th.
Yeah, but there's some windows in there that they've given some coaches and, you know, some people. Yes, that is correct. I would be surprised if the New Orleans Saints don't have a coach by the Super Bowl. I would be surprised. Would you?
I don't know, because I don't – it's hard to – I mean, I don't know if they're going after hard on somebody like a Vrabel that's got all this interest from other teams, or is there a college coach? Or are you? Do you have your eyes on Liam?
Bowl games are still going now. So
do you have your eyes on a Liam Cohen, the hot – because right now the hot – he's the hot – you know, there's going to be a guy – as we move through the playoffs, on somebody's team that's going to be that guy, you know. But then
I'm not going to fall in love just because he got hot during the playoffs.
Right.
That's not going to be the reason I hired that coach. If it is, something's wrong with you, because what did he do the other 17 weeks that you all of a sudden said, oh, yeah, that's really why I like him. He made the adjustment in the NFC Championship game, and that's why I want to hire him. If that's the case, ooh-wee.
So that's why I don't have a feel for what direction from a college. You can talk to some college guys.
Here's where it goes for me if you continue to wait. Now, we just talked about cap compliant, correct?
Right.
So, if you are waiting until after the Super Bowl, which is February the 9th, you have to be compliant by March 1st, whatever that date is. You've got about a three-week window. Now, all of these cap guys that they want to fire and GMs, assistant GMs, and all of these people that you want to fire as well, that information is already there. So if you fire them, you've got to bring you're going to be bringing somebody else in to kind of do some of that information for you. And because there's a method to be able to get under 70, and then you're not just going to stop at 70. Because you still have to sign.
Right. You want to sign to people.
Free agents.
Right.
As well as draft picks. So it's not going to be, hey, we're cap compliant. You got to do more than that. But if we go and fire even the mail guy and the security guy at Airline Highway, what are you doing?
Right. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. This is Fans and a Pro. I want to thank Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. They fed the NOPD District 1 and District 8 today, both one in the French Quarter and just outside the French Quarter. New Orleanians helping New Orleanians. Back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Pelicans tonight against the Wizards at 7 o'clock. The pregame at 6:30. Saints and the Buccaneers, of course, on Sunday. So, I was just curious as we, you know, getting towards the end of the season and MVP and all these kind of things. Saquon Barkley, 2,000 yards, had a chance. Probably won't play in the final week. Totally get it. I'm kind of curious as to where you are on these single season records when it's not apples to apples, if it's an older record with 14 or 16 or 17. Like, did you feel Saquon Barkley, if he had played, was he legitimately breaking Dickerson's record?
Yes.
Based on why?
Running the football. And it's just based on the amount of carries. I get the games.
Right.
I do get the game theory, and that's probably not fair. But when Dickerson broke the record, he played in one more game than I'm going dead. I can't remember who had it before Dickerson had it. But Dickerson played in one more game.
OJ, was it?
It may have been OJ. It may have been OJ. We've got to look it up, but Dickerson played in one more game than that running back. And so now with Saquon, and for me, I get it. I understand it. But I'm for going and getting the record. I'm for going and getting the record. So if Saquon, I know he's not going to play, but I'm all for go get that record.
Did you have we were looking at talking about Mike Evans. Did you ever have a situation where you had a final game, and if you did X, it would mean something financially, without getting into details, of course?
Probably so. I don't know if it was just one final game, but, you know, I was at the point. You have escalators, and guys know it because your agent lets you know, hey, you're close to 2.5 sacks, or if you get one more sack, it's a bonus for you. This past week, and the Saints didn't have anybody in the Pro Bowl. If you make the Pro Bowl, if you make the All-Pro team, guys have bonuses in those contracts. And so, you know, they're escalators. It may be an escalator in there where you made the Pro Bowl for two consecutive years. Now my base salary for the next year goes up X amount. Or, you know, let's say take a rookie. You know, now his average salary will be based off of whatever the transition tag, the franchise tag. And so I know a lot of times we've devalued what the Pro Bowl means, but financially, to a lot of guys, it's a lot. It means a lot to them. And so from a escalator standpoint of so many rushing yards or so many catches or so many carries, your agent would let you know, hey, you're getting close to this incentive. So let's have a good new year and a Merry Christmas. And, you know, you're going to go out and not that you weren't playing hard, but you kind of know how many yards you need.
Dickerson did it with 16. O.J. did it in 14 games.
Got it.
Right.
Got it. So O.J. did it in 14 and 16. And look, the games have changed. You know, it's still football, but how you do football and the yardage and, you know, some different things, it's a little different. But, yeah, I'm for setting particularly a record like that. I'm for going after it because the thought process is always, how about this? And Saquon will tell you. I think this is year, what, 7 for him?
I don't know.
6? I think he said it. No. It's either year 6 or 7 for him.
If we're not playing him, I don't know.
Yeah. But here's something that's interesting. This is the first time that he has won a division crown.
Wow.
Well, he was never a division champ. Think about that. As great as he has been, he's played on some lousy teams.
Yeah.
Or they weren't good enough. And it took him this amount of years and changing teams for him to win his first division championship.
Would you be surprised at any move above head coach? Would be any front office moves for the Saints?
For the Saints?
Yeah.
Yes and no. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't have a feel. And to be honest, I really hadn't tried to get a feel.
No, I was just. I mean,
no, I know it.
There's a lot of texters going.
I want to tell the text. Yeah. I want to tell the text people. That's not my job. Yeah. That's not your job. And so we don't get into that side.
Never have.
No. Yeah, we don't get into that side. We see, we observe, we talk about. Yes, we have opinions, but I want to put this team, this organization, in the best possible way to win. I want fans and players to enjoy wearing the black and gold. I want fans to feel like that we have, and you do, a distinct advantage every time you come into that dome. And they deserve a better product than what has been put out on the field.
Take a break. Fans and a Pro, come back with you till 6 o'clock. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister back after this here on WWL, AMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, as we wrap up the show tonight with you till 6 o'clock. It's hard to believe that this time yesterday we were wrapping up the Sugar Bowl. Did you watch? I know you had Ole Miss last night against Duke in the Tech Slayer Guitar Bowl.
Yeah, and the Gator Bowl.
Watch the Sugar Bowl?
I did watch the Sugar Bowl. I watched as much as I can. And I got some bad news for you, too.
North Texas?
Yeah, your bracket is not going to – your pool and your bracket play is not going as you
But I'm down 9. Ooh, 9 with 12:20 to play. North Texas 14, Texas State 23.
Don't hold out a lot of hope in that that North Texas team coming back. just give me that insight. But, yeah, no, it was
sure.
All four. Yeah. No, I was all four of the bye teams that got a bye. All four of them lost.
Yep. But I mean,
think about that.
Oregon surprised me a little bit, but not too much. I mean, Boise State. You know,
did you think that Boise and was it ASU were overmatched, or it just took them a while to get going?
I felt like ASU was overmatched a little bit, although that game.
Well, they came back. I mean, they came back, and
yeah,
so
that game was crazy.
I don't know if the time off hurt them, but I am surprised that you don't have two SEC teams in it but you do have two Big Ten teams in it. And I don't know where Notre Dame wants to throw themselves. You know, I know they're independent, but they just throw their weight around on conference when it comes to that. Well, we're Notre Dame. You know, we don't need a conference.
Next Thursday and Friday is the Capital One Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl with the Final Four. What did you think of Marcus Freeman's the special teams, you know, field swap? I don't know what to call it. I'm sure they got a better name for it.
It's a hockey swap.
Okay.
It's the hockey swap, as we know, just like a line change.
Yep.
And here's the rule. It is a penalty if the snapper touched the ball.
Did he? I can't remember. I felt like he did.
I do not think he did.
Okay. I will say this.
He can go stand over the ball. It is not a penalty until he touches the ball. I can go stand over it. I can crouch down. But if I don't touch the ball, because you cannot substitute 11, because that's considered the ball has been put in play. As long as he doesn't touch it, it's considered dead. The play is still dead. So you can substitute all 11. But here's the thing with college, and this is where Kirby didn't take advantage of the rule. You can run three off, run three on. I can run three more off, run three
until
more
get to
on
11?
Until I get to 11.
Wow.
I don't
buy,
have to.
You should, you're buying some
I'm not buying time. I'm running that play clock out. The play clock.
The play clock's running while you're doing
it? Not the play clock, but the play clock was running, but yes, it's the play clock. The play clock is running.
Is it the game clock?
No,
or the
it's
play
the game clock. Yeah,
well, I felt like the official stood there a long time. He stays there. Yes.
But he gives you an opportunity to sub. If you sub all 11 off, he still gives you an opportunity for them to line up. But you can run three off, three come onto the field. I can run another three off, three come onto the field. And so it almost puts you in a panic mode. Oh, they subs 11. I got to send all of my 11 go off.
What's he doing? What's going on?
So it's gamesmanship. It's finding a weakness, but it's knowing the rules as well.
Thanks for listening, everyone, to Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. Thanks to Charlie Long, as always, in the booth. It's the Saints and the Buccaneers on Sunday. We will look for you then. Happy New Year, everyone. Stay strong, New Orleans.